This is Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the CG Sportsbook inside the Palms Casino Resort in Las Vegas, powered by O'Reilly Auto Parts, here's your host, Matt Perrault.
It is Pushing the Odds, SB Nation Radio. Let's continue talking about UFC 229 and the fallout of UFC 229. Do we have Mark yet? Did I get that here correctly, Chris? We chasing Mark still? I think we're chasing Mark Ramani.
Nope, just got him locked in.
Okay, so Mark Ramani, MMAfighting.com, joining us on the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline. Mark, Matt Perrault, how are you?
Hey, Matt. How's it going, man?
This is a hard topic. I'm not going to lie. This is a hard topic. I love the sport. I love everything about the sport. I think Dana White gets a lot of criticism unwarranted for a lot of things. But Saturday night was a moment that I don't think it's, you know, this is not like a huge black eye for the next 30 years for the UFC. But what is going to be the fallout in your mind, the lasting impact for what happened on Saturday night?
Honestly, I don't think a whole lot. I really don't. I don't think this is going to be a black eye for the sport or anything like that. It's unfortunate what happened, but look, the people who don't watch MMA, who don't watch the UFC, already probably don't have a very high opinion of the sport. This is ultimately two people getting into a cage and fighting each other. So that is worth the perspective a little bit. I don't think that casual fans have. I don't think casual fans think that this is some kind of clean spick and span sport. You know what I mean? So I don't think it's going to hurt the sport in terms of that. I think if anything, it brought more eyes to the product. And if they do have a rematch between McGregor and Nurmagomedov, I believe that it'll be by far and away the biggest fight in UFC history, and it'll probably be the one that can come closest to some Mayweather numbers. I really do think that.
See, I'm going to disagree with you, Mark, because I was this morning. I turned on CBS this morning, and they had the video, and they had Dana White's comments, and they had Habib's comments after the fight, and the two women and the male on screen afterwards were not saying nice things at all. And I think you're reaching an audience that maybe has never seen much about the UFC, but the first thing that they think about with the UFC is the fact that their athletes don't know where to fight, and their athletes will leave the playing surface to go into the stands to endanger police, to endanger fight fans who are sitting there who have paid their money to be a part of the action. I don't know how that's not a black eye on the sport, Mark.
That's not the demographic of who's going to. Those people are not watching the UFC anyway. So those anchors on CBS and a lot of their viewers are not watching the UFC. They're not going to watch it. I don't think that. Look, again, this is a sport that is literally two people getting into a cage and hitting and kicking and punching each other until they are knocked out. Or submitted until they tap out. There's blood. It's a rough sport as it is, and I don't think that this changes anything. How many times have we seen brawls in boxing? How many times? It's happened so many times, and boxing is still around, and it's actually thriving now more than it has in many years. I don't think this will have any kind of lasting impact. I don't, and I'd be shocked if it did. If anything, like I said, I think the rematch would do enormous numbers.
I'm not disagreeing that this is going to make a lot of money for the UFC, that this ultimately is, in a sick way, a good thing for the UFC. But you don't think in 97, when Holyfield-Tyson, that fight spilled out of the playing surface into the casino and went crazy with chairs, that wasn't a black eye for boxing?
Well, when you say black eye, what do you mean?
That's something that we talk about, that the changes have to be made, that things have to be adjusted, that people have to take different security measures, that things need to be watched differently because clearly something will happen, can happen, that leads to innocent people being put in harm's way. No one going to a UFC fight, Mark, thinks that they're going to see a fighter jump over the cage and jump into the stands and having police having to, you know, essentially barricade themselves around the athlete to protect him, and the police are in the line of fire while this guy is trying to be taken out of the arena.
I think it'll be a blip on the radar because there are, you know, 40-something UFC fights a year, and this doesn't happen. It happened this one time, and I think maybe it'll be a lesson to the UFC as far as where is the line as far as promotion, because they stoked the flames, right? I mean, the promotion for this fight was all about McGregor attacking a bus, which, in my opinion, that was a criminal act. The bus thing was literally a criminal act. He was arrested.
Remember, so was Habib's.
What's that?
So was what Habib did.
Well, I mean, technically, no. He was not arrested for it. It was not a criminal act. What McGregor did is a criminal act. He used a weapon. So what is worse? You know, that is the question. I mean, McGregor and they used what was literally a criminal act that he pled guilty for in Brooklyn court. They used that to promote the fight.
Correct me if I'm wrong here. Just to keep the audience up to date as what we're talking about here. Connor had charges pressed against him from people inside the bus. Correct.
He had right? charges pressed against him by people who were witnesses.
They wanted to, but they were asked by police in New York, do you want to press charges? And the answer was yes, right?
Well, when these situations happen, it's not do you want to press charges, it's do you want to file a report. And then there are people who did file a report against him, yes.
So Connor could have done the same thing if he had wanted to Saturday night, correct?
Connor or someone in Habib's corner, which we don't know if that's in McGregor's corner, which we don't know yet. Certainly there could be a report filed. I was told by police there at the scene that it would be a misdemeanor battery. It would be like a citation. It wouldn't be any jail time. It would just be a ticket, essentially.
Right, but it would be a criminal act.
Correct, but as far as we know, none of that happened.
Right, so what my point is that to call Connor's thing a criminal act is because Michael Chiesa and other fighters inside Rose Namajunas, who are inside the bus, chose to go ahead and go to the authorities and want to press charges against what Connor did. They all could have said, hey, we're not pressing charges, that's fine. Connor, if he wanted to, could have had those three guys who were detained after the fight. He could have had them arrested, and thus, by your standards, it would have been a criminal act, right?
Well, yes, technically speaking, if someone did file a report, whoever was involved, that could have led to an arrest, but that's also up to the Las Vegas Metro PD to whether they actually want to follow through with that or not, if they want to make the determination that it is worth doing. And I would imagine, and I'm speculating here, that the UFC might have had some input in that as well, because this was ultimately their event, and they had control over it, whereas they had less control over something that happened in a somewhat of a public place in the loading dock of a Barclays Center.
Right. Have you talked to anybody from the Nevada Athletic Commission, either on or off the record, about what they're thinking about here? Because I'm hearing a year. Are you hearing that?
I'm not hearing that, and I don't think that I think that's way premature to say. I'd be very surprised if that's even being bandied about internally. I would be very surprised if he got a year. I'd be very surprised.
Because they've given 9-month suspensions out for marijuana, and there is some real pressure here. And Dana White, I think, will have a lot of clout to be able to try to negotiate what he thinks is a fair suspension. And having him being out longer than 6 months, I think, would be something the UFC would not really want. But there are some real anger, some real hurt feelings here. And the people, there's some political ramifications here with Bob Bennett and with the Nevada Athletic Commission about what is the appropriate suspension for someone who leaves the playing surface and to set a standard that this is never going to be acceptable. And if you do this, this is the punishment for what you have done. So what do you think it will be? Will it be 6 months?
I have no idea, and it would be purely speculating, but I would say 6 months is probably what I would, if I guns in my head, that's what I would guess. But I truly don't know. It could be 9 months. It certainly could be a year. I really don't know. If it was a year, though, I would be surprised.
Kevin Ioli from the Yahoo Sports wrote an article this morning that I found pretty interesting, saying that okay, everyone's talking about how long will Habib be out, but don't underestimate the fact that Connor also will get something for what happened. I was surprised to see that Connor, who was pulled back by security after he was trying to follow Habib out of the cage, that he might get suspended as well. Do you think that could happen?
It could happen. I don't think it will. I think that it's possible both men will be fined. I think the one thing I can say for certain is I think that Habib is probably in for a hefty fine. I think the fine will be substantial. I don't know how long the actual time out will be, but I think the fine will be substantial. I could see McGregor also getting fined. I don't think he'll be suspended. In my opinion, I've watched this video so many times now, and people are saying, well, McGregor threw the first punch in the cage, and I don't disagree. He did throw the first punch in the cage, but there's also people in the cage who are not supposed to be there.
Right.
And it's after the fight. I mean, he had his bell rung in the fight. He may be concussed. He was just choked and had his face cranked on. He's defending himself, you know, and I'm not saying he's a victim in all this, because certainly, again, he stoked the flames and he kind of ignited this whole situation. But when you're a fighter there in the cage and it's just you and there are people running around, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah, it's interesting because you just said something that Daniel Cormier wrote on Instagram that I really disagree with in terms of McGregor's comments stoking the flame, because Conor has said things, and you could say that he went down a different road this time, but we see Daniel Cormier and Jon Jones writing and saying horrible things about themselves, their families, their girlfriends, I mean, all sorts of things, calling, you know, and no one is talking about, you know, if those two guys, you know, who truly hate each other, the UFC has used that promotion, and both guys have been respectful enough to fight each other when the cage, you know, they had that one altercation at a press conference here in Vegas, but for the most part, it's all happened inside the cage. But people are still saying that Conor has some responsibility for what happened with Habib. So do you put some blame on Conor for Habib's actions?
I do. And not necessarily the talk. Because talk is just that, it's talk, and I know that a lot of it did upset Habib, but it isn't the talk, it was the action. It was literally the criminal act that we spoke about in April. He came into the loading dock of Barclays Center with more than a dozen other people, and he stormed the area. He threw a weapon. I mean, he threw something that could have really hurt someone seriously through the bus window. Two fighters had to pull out of fights, because of that, because they had glass cascaded onto their face, and then they were cut up. Mm-hmm. It was a very dangerous situation, and a lot of people were frightened by that situation. It was horrible. So I think that set the tone for this entire rivalry and this entire fight. And the UFC used that. He didn't face any punishment from the UFC. He was not given any punishment. He was not given any punishment from any athletic commission, which it's kind of a weird gray area, because he really wasn't licensed by any athletic commission at that point, so it's kind of hard to punish someone if they're not licensed, and they used that whole thing as part of the promotion. They played it over and over again in promos, and when you establish that as the tone for everything about this fight, that's already already at an 11, and that's kind of where it kind of spilled out, I think, on Saturday night.
Did Habib have any problem with the way the UFC promoted the fight?
He didn't say that he did, but and even if he did, I think he has a problem with how the UFC treats McGregor, which a lot of fans also have a problem with, where it feels like he could do no wrong and he gets away with everything. So I think there was a problem in that case.
Oh, I would agree that Conor has special rules, but so did Michael Jordan. So did, you know, big athletes get special rules. You know, Kobe Bryant. I mean, go down the list of athletes who have had their own set of rules. That's just kind of the way the world works, unfortunately, when it comes to certain situations. But I just think that Habib cracked in the moment, and I'm not letting him off the hook at all. And whatever Conor did pre, whatever Conor said pre, I just think he endangered civilians. He endangered police. He endangered everything in the Barclays Center. Is horrible and awful, but that was fighters in a bus, and there weren't people, there weren't civilians around, there weren't police around being put in a line of fire for what happened. So to me, I think there are apples and oranges, and what Conor did was awful, but what Habib did was horrendous. He incited a riot. I mean, you guys have seen the video of what happened at T-Mobile Arena, the people that were fighting, the brawl that broke out, the multiple brawls that broke out. That's, to me, why I think it's way worse in a much bigger deal, because Habib could have done it privately. I mean, he could have gone after Conor in the bowels of T-Mobile if he wanted to. He just chose to do it in an extraordinarily public setting.
Well, I think it's horrible for him as well, because it takes so much away from a pretty sound beating that he put on McGregor. No one's talking about that today. Everyone's talking about the brawl after the fight. They aren't talking about the actual fight, which, if it just ended the way it did, people would be raving about how great of a fighter Nurmagomedov is, instead of what kind of punishment he's going to be getting from the Nevada Athletic Commission. And to me, he shot himself in the foot. And I think everyone is to blame for what happened, but ultimately, what happened on Saturday night was, of course, like you said, incited by Habib, and he's going to probably pay the price for it, not only from a PR perspective, but he will certainly face some kind of a suspension. And I don't know what's worse, but I do think that everyone is accountable for the tone that was kind of set going into the fight.
That's a fair point. Mark, great stuff. Really appreciate it. Crazy times in the UFC. Always appreciate you hanging out, giving us some insight into it.
Thanks, man. Take care.
Mark Amandi, MMAfighting.com, joining us on the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline. More on that topic as we continue live in Vegas, SB Nation Radio.